Rusty, welcome to Top Floor. I'm
Hey,
your
thanks,
host.
Chris. Yeah,
Yeah,
appreciate it.
thanks for agreeing to join us today. We're looking forward to hearing more about your journey. So let's just jump in. Tell us a little bit about Fulling Management and Accounting.
Absolutely. I actually we just celebrated 24 years in business, so
Congratulations.
a little milestone there. I actually launched the company April Fool's Day of 2000, so that's a nice day to start. We provide basically helping business owners get clarity, grow profits, and gain peace of mind. And we do that through the fractional CFO model. We do accounting, bookkeeping along those ways. It's just been a lot of fun over the years watching companies again get that clarity and growing profits and gaining peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you've seen some things, right? Good and bad, up and down.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So, Rusty, tell us, why did you start your own company? Why did you start Fulling?
Yeah, for years I worked at a couple different companies over the years, but one in particular, I was at a CPA firm working way too many hours and really was taking a toll on my health. And I was having a conversation with a coworker one day, and the sitting across the lunch table, he said, "I can't believe you haven't started your own company." And it was just that affirmation of a trusted friend that is like, "Hey, you know what? This that could be reality." And so, I think it was just that looking for that affirmation. But we started with three little clients, and one of those little clients are now one of our biggest clients today, 24 years later.
Wow, great. That's fantastic. And are most of your clients in the metro, the Kansas City metro area, or do you guys go outside of that?
Yeah. So we started in the Kansas City area. Our clients were within an hour or two of Kansas City. We worked on that model for years. It was probably around COVID or just prior to COVID, we started expanding out more. And so now we've actually gone totally virtual. We moved from a brick and mortar office space to now virtual. So all of our team members are virtual. We're in about I think we have team members in about six states around the country, and we have clients in over 25 states around the country now.
Wow. So that virtual move was positive for you guys, potentially.
Oh, absolutely. It's just been amazing. Just to see, I'd say everything from recruiting team members to being able to serve clients. And you don't have that drive issue. We can be a lot more responsive just be able to take care of people a lot quicker by jumping on a Zoom call or a phone call or it's been a really beneficial move.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. That's great. So take me back to that conversation with the coworker when the coworker said, "I can't believe you haven't started your own business." And the light bulb went off and you said, "Oh,
No.
can't believe it either. Like maybe let's go make this happen." So what were you started your own business, you hung out your shingle. What did you hope to accomplish by going out on your own and starting your own business?
Part of it was just getting that balance, that life balance back. What's a 40-hour work week look like for somebody in the accounting field? And so I think that was a lot of what I was looking for is how do we have a life outside of the office at that time? And we had two young kids, and before starting the company, I would leave work in the mornings while they were still in bed, and I'd get home and they're already back in bed. And so I think that desire to really be more of a holistic life than just a 9 to 5 or a 9 to 9 or whatever hours could be. So
Right.
definitely more of that balance. And I think the other thing was finding ways to serve the clients with what you're providing. So I remember providing clients, these multiple page accounting reports, which if you're like me, your eyes glaze over and it's like, oh my goodness. But using that information, instead of just giving them a report, using that information to really help them drive their business forward. And so our focus was really not so much volume of number of businesses we get to work with, but boy, how can we go deep and really provide that value that really propels them forward, and using the numbers as a tool to do that. So I think that was those were some of the drivers that really kept me up at night in a good way.
Okay, awesome. So you said something that we hear quite often. I was looking for balance.
Yep.
You just celebrated 24 years. Yep. Have you found balance? Have you accomplished that balance that you were looking for?
Yeah, I have. And sometimes it was painful when you don't have a lot of business in the front end.
Right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of work to do. And so, so it can definitely swing a bit. But that is something I would say that we've been able to celebrate over the last, 24 plus years now. On that is a kind of a core value of ours, is just making sure that all of our team is practicing that balance. And so we spend a lot of time just reinforcing, if you're spending more than 40 hours on a regular basis, we need to readjust that.
Okay, great. Okay, so different question here. What would you say your unfair advantage is? What's your business superpower?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting. I think sometimes I've heard people answer this question with, I can do this big thing, or I can, never run out of toilet paper. I mean, just some crazy things. But I love hearing feedback from others. Sometimes I think our superpowers, others see in us before we see it.
Okay.
And I was reminded of this recently. We were helping one of our daughters move, where she got a new role, and she came up to me towards the end of the day, and it'd been a stressful day. And she goes, "You know what? You bring peace in the midst of stress."
Oh, wow.
And I thought, wow, there's a superpower but sometimes it's having others call those out. So I would say bringing peace in the midst of stress. And so how do we apply that to business? Man, you think about some of the business owners that are just, going through those stressful seasons of business, and it affects life and everything else. And, if you can just come along beside them and help them, really gain peace through getting clarity and hey, let's set a vision that's going to get us out of this season. Yeah. And so those superpowers per se would be an advantage, I think, that I've seen in not only me, but our team as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's interesting that your superpower leads right into my next question. Mm.
We should have practiced this.
I know, like, so, wow. Which is, as a CFO, outsourced CFO, you've worked with hundreds of companies probably by now over the history of the business. What are some of the common financial mistakes or missteps that you see entrepreneurs make as it relates to the financial aspects in the business?
Yeah. I would say cash flow is probably one of those that just managing that well. So it could be just not projecting ahead. We're living, high on the hog, you might say, in those times where sales are good. And then you have those seasons of, that aren't so good. And so that planning ahead, that implementing some strategic planning with using your numbers for that. And so I would say that's probably one of the biggest, when people call, that's one of the needs that come up is, I'm just having trouble managing this. It's either we're out of it or we have too much, or where's a balance, and how do we use this as a tool and not just a survival mode?
Yeah. So give me one of your recommendations with regards to how you use cash as a tool, right? Because I think this is very common amongst business owners, no matter how long they've been in business, is managing cash flow, positive and negative.
Yes, absolutely. And some of that is, it's the old look in your checkbook and see how much, if you have money in there, then you're good. If not, you're not. Well, we've seen companies that they keep a lot of cash on hand, but they don't pay their bills. And so that can be a problem. You're not going to be in business very long for that. We use a cash flow forecast tool that has really been beneficial for business owners, so that they can look ahead, because a lot of them have been in business for a while where they have seasonality in their businesses, or maybe they're building up a lot of cash, and boy, there's some great tools out there. You know, it could be a retirement plan, 401ks and some of those, or even some great charitable like donor advised funds that people that are really passionate about those kind of things can be using those dollars for. They're lowering their tax burden. They're doing some amazing things for their team or their communities and charities, those kind of things. So I think a lot of it is making a plan for your cash, because if you don't, it'll disappear quickly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really setting the tone looking back, if you look back, how did you want, what would be true? What would be a success, And so how do you then set that as your goal, kind of that success statement for your cash?
Yeah. And when a CEO or a business comes to you and says, hey, we're in crisis mode, we have a liquidity issue.
Yeah.
I mean, and not to categorize everyone, but generally, how'd they get there? Why'd they get there?
Yes.
From your experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it's just mismanagement. I think years ago we worked with a group where cash had gotten so bad, the six owners couldn't even take a paycheck, and they were just, barely making payroll for their staff. And the infighting was horrible among the owners. And I remember one owner calling me at home on a Saturday night one time and just saying, are we going to make it? Mm-hmm. And for them, one of the big issues was their receivables, the money that their customers owed them, had gotten way out of hand. And so they literally had millions of dollars sitting on the sidelines that their customer had. And so, a few calls to their customers, they're like, oh yeah, we just needed an updated bill. Well, my goodness, how difficult is that? So sometimes it's little things become big if you let them go too far. And for this company, that's exactly what they had. And fast forward, just coming in and providing that clarity, it just made such a difference. In fact, they were able to start collecting on a regular basis. Not only did the owners get paychecks, they started getting bonuses, and they eventually were able to sell the company for a nice profit.
Wow.
And so it was a really neat example of, some of those crises we put ourselves into just because we've mismanaged the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so thanks for sharing that. But I want to go back to one of the things you said, that weekend phone call, are we going to make it?
Yeah.
How often do you have to take off your CFO hat and put on your psychologist, psychiatrist hat and really kind of calm some nerves, ease some anxiety, right? How often do you find yourself in that role?
Oh, probably daily. I mean, I tell you, you're talking about competitive advantages, and I know there's so many groups out there that do a good job at this, but I would say moving from the transactional to the relational. And I think even back when I was early in my business is it's so easy to get caught up in the transactions. Just fix it. But boy, sometimes when a business owner doesn't have anyone else to go to with that anxiety or that issue or that, are we going to make it? Those are the things I probably lean into more today in my role than I have in the last several years, just because of what I get to do now is almost more, I get to lean in more into that mentoring role now with our team does an amazing job with a lot of transactional and relational. But man, I just love the leaning into that mentoring and the boy, how can we help you from a whole person and just not the checkbook.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So you mentioned the cash flow forecasting tool that you guys like to utilize.
Yeah.
Are there other similar tools that you, as a practice, you guys like to use kind of across all companies, we always like to use our cash flow forecasting tool and our fill in the blank. Are there other?
Sure. Yeah. There's some basic reports that I think often go overlooked, just things like balance sheets, profit and loss statements, a balance sheet. So many business owners, when we first meet, are like, yeah, I don't really look at that. I want to see the P&L, the profit and loss statement. And the balance sheet has so much good information there that, again, can show you your cash position, your, you know, what people owe you, what you owe people. To me, that's almost more valuable than the P&L a lot of times, right. but it just goes overlooked. And some of it's just, we don't know how to use it. And so those are definitely two other reports. I think the other thing too, is just finding a standardized software for accounting and bookkeeping. So many companies, a QuickBooks type product is more than adequate. And I've seen too many over purchase and get things that are so complicated that they spend more time trying to figure out the software than they do managing their accounting processes. So those are the basics. And then definitely with some companies, we really get into the KPIs, the key performance indicators, and little measurements that, you know, you just make a few tweaks and, you know, really can make a big difference on our company. So those often are very individualized or industry driven, but balance sheet, profit and loss, and cash flow would definitely be the top three to start with.
Yeah. Okay. And as a practice, do you guys recommend KPIs for all your clients or some of them, or it depends on size, or how, what's the viewpoint there?
Yeah, I would say with all of the clients, we would have some type of KPI. Now, sometimes they're broken down and into nice detailed dashboards and so forth. Others that just need just a, hey, let's just look at these couple numbers on the balance sheet and make sure that they're heading in the right direction, or a budget to actual comparison. So, but yes, I would say there's definitely some KPI usage definitely on all the clients we get to work with.
Gotcha. Okay. So you've been doing this for a while. It's an understatement. What is your most significant learning? Like, if someone said to you, Rusty, what do I need to know? I'm thinking about starting my own business. What is it that I need to know that no one will tell me? Like, what would you tell them?
Yeah. So I think it was about year 10 or 11 that I had just gotten, I'd say, burnt out in the business. I just was kind of at my wit's end. We had just been putting along at just a small growth over the last 10 years. I think, you know, if I look at the business, I almost feel like we started, you know, 10 or 12 years ago versus 24 years ago. And part of that was investing in reading. I think reading was so important. I told a group that year, like I said, about year 12, I said, I'm going to read 20 books next year. And they're like, oh, wow, you only read like two last year. So 20, that's huge. And so every time we get together, I give them an update. And sure enough, by the end of the year, I hadn't read 20, but I had read 50.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you, it just generated so many creative ideas and growth ideas and management ideas. And so reading would be one. I think the other is investing in your team. If you have a team of people, don't just let them flounder on their own, but make sure you're doing something to grow them on a regular basis. And part of what we do individually and even with some of our management team members is getting involved with advisory groups, roundtable type groups. And those have just been so helpful. Just learning from other leaders, because you just can't do it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Okay. So I love to read.
Yeah.
If, whether it was that 50 books or something you've read since then, if you could recommend one book or the book you give away to everybody, what would it be?
Yeah. There's been some great books over the year, and I'm sure, depending on the situation, I'd have a handful, but The Mulligan by Ken Blanchard.
Okay.
Probably a little known book. It's a small little read, but it's a great story, a fable. Ken Blanchard has written some really great books, but a great little story about kind of that mentoring relationship.
Okay.
And so just loved that one. I think there's books like Halftime by Bob Buford, Permission to Screw Up. I'm trying to think of some others that are out there. You know, the John Maxwell's, the Craig Groeschel's, the there's just some really good leadership content out there. So
okay. I'm familiar with Ken Blanchard, but not Mulligan. So I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, yep.
Awesome. So what's the future hold for you and the firm? I mean, what are your aspirations for the next 5 years or so?
Yeah. So every year, we bring our team in, our now virtual team, we fly them all into Kansas City, and we do a strategic planning workshop, normally about a three day event. And we spend time planning. We normally do three year chunks, but that's been just so beneficial, again, making sure that everybody's heading in the right direction. One of the things that we'll be leaning into over the next 5 years, and we just put it in play just within the last couple of months, is we're now doing more of a co-leadership model. So I've operated as the CEO for years and just moved one of our just incredible team members up into that COO role.
Okay.
And then we're co-leading. So she'll be really that integrator as far as the day-to-day management. And if you're familiar with EOS, you know, I get to really lean into that visionary piece. And so we've already started leaning into that and begin practicing that. And so that is going to just be a huge catalyst, I think, for some really neat growth coming up.
Yeah.
And so we're already seeing some fruit from that, even just within the last couple of months, we've put that in play.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. And from your perspective, knowing in sight, you love what you do, you can keep doing it, or?
I think if without that co-leadership model, I think the lifespan would have probably been less. there's a certain amount that, you know, we went through the working genius model by Patrick Lencioni, if you remember that.
Sure.
And it was so funny that we had all of our team take this assessment, and there was one outlier that was a galvanizer.
Okay.
And you know, you're kind of, everybody else loves tenacity and some different things. And well, guess who was the galvanizer? It was me. And so what that means is, for those that may not be familiar with that, is, you know, it's that kind of leading the team up the hill and, you know, kind of that next, let's conquer this next, you know, thing that we're, this goal that we're looking for. And so, you know, as I get to lean more into that and again, the mentoring piece, man, I just, that's where I get my passion bucket filled. And so, you know, I don't necessarily see I don't know that the word retirement is necessarily in my vocabulary yet, but if I can lean more into those roles, man, I'd love to do that. You know, whether it's 40 hours a week or you know, at some point maybe taper that down as you know, other leaders in our group grow and so. But yeah, those are just a lot of fun. So
yeah, and it's probably not work to you at that point, where it's that. When your bucket's getting full of your passion, like that's not work, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. When you can walk away and just, you know, what'd you do all day, man, exactly what I wanted to do. And I got to invest in others and see others, you know, succeed. That's just a lot of fun. So,
yeah. So where do you know where that passion for mentorship, where'd that come from? Did you have a mentor or mentors somewhere along the way that really you were like, wow, they were meaningful to me and I want to pay that forward? Or how did that happen?
Just kind of thinking about that. I've definitely had some mentors along the way in various areas of life, you know, or jobs or different things. I actually think of my father-in-law as just a neat mentor. He was actually a CFO at a company for years and before retiring. I think the last 25 years, as he's been in retirement, just invested heavily in kids, grandkids, now great grandkids, in the time that he spends with them. And so, man, that's just such a legacy that I get to take a, you know, kind of a side view and just watch him in that huge, a very generous heart. And I love the generosity in that. And so I think that, you know, married, my goodness, they'll be coming up on 60 years here pretty soon. So just, you know, just some really key things, I think, Sometimes those mentors, I've had some very formalized mentors as well, those that have helped in the business, but I just think of kind of a holistic mentor. I think he's been one that I've just really appreciated the legacy model that he's put out there. So
yeah, no, that's great. That's great. What advice would you have for somebody who's sitting at that lunch table with a coworker thinking about starting their own business? Maybe not CFO business. You know, maybe we're not giving competitive advice here, but someone who's really contemplating, but yet maybe they're on the fence about starting their own thing or going into business for themselves. What advice would you give that person?
Yeah, probably none. I think your question reminds me of a friend I was with yesterday who, he was at a little property management company working, and he don't own some of his own properties and as well, just on the side. And he came to me, he was at lunch table conversation, you know, young 20s, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. And you know, sometimes, and I know Chris, you're in, you know, some of the coaching and the guidance business as well. But you know, it's not so much the advice you give. I think it's the questions you ask. And I think just spending time clarifying, helping them clarify their vision and what's next. And so I would probably start with the questions versus the, hey, here's the advice. So.
Yeah. Kind of that delineation between mentor and coach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach, absolutely. I'll tell you what to do. Mentor, I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
And there's a space for both of those, I think.
Okay. Yes.
So great answer. Very wise, astute answer. Let me ask you a different question.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to yourself 24 years ago sitting at that table, knowing what you know now?
There's a proverb that says the person that walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm.
Okay.
And what I hear that saying is surround yourself with wise counsel, right? So make sure you're walking with. So I think of, you know, if I were to talk to myself those years ago, look for a coach, look for somebody to coach you along, look for a cheerleader, and look for community.
Yeah.
So those three C's. Coach, cheerleader, and community. So I think those, if I look back and I thought, man, how did I survive the seasons? How did I thrive? I think it's those three C's that really were so beneficial, have still beneficial to me over the years.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And knowing what you know, if you were to rewind the clock, would you do anything differently?
Knowing what I know, I think thinking back, you know, mentioned year 10 or 12 or somewhere in there, I think starting earlier in the reading and the investing in groups like that, I think would have been beneficial. But, you know, there's also, I think there's lessons to be learned in those lean seasons as well. Yeah. And so just some of the conversations and the friendships made along those ways, I think those are good. So I don't know that I would, I don't necessarily have any regrets type thing. So I think there's definitely been just some lessons learned along the way. So I think if I can share some of that and shorten those first 10 years for some younger entrepreneurs, that would be great.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. Okay, so I have one more question. And I'll see if I can make sense of this. But I'm a proponent of this idea that, especially as business owners, we're all telling ourselves a story. And the story could be the customers are coming. The story could be no one's coming. It could be my employees are great. We're all telling ourselves a story. From your experience with all the businesses that you worked with, what do you think the most common story is that CEOs are telling themselves? It could be a true story. It could be a false story, right? Yeah. But what do you think the most common story would be?
Common story that a CEO is telling themselves?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Think about that one. I'd almost think it would depend on the season of business they're in. you know, when you're in that early stages, it's the sometimes, you know, rose-colored glasses. Oh, everything, you know, yeah. I can conquer the world, you know, yeah. And then you get into those treadmill seasons where it's just like, I'm just trying to keep up and I'm not sure I can, you know, keep this pace. And then I think you get into those legacy seasons where it's like, man, did I do enough? Did I, you know, have I picked the right team? Have I, you know, kind of that, what am I leaving behind that's made the world better? Yeah. So I think there's seasons that we go through that we're probably, does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And I think every season, every stage of the life cycle has a different story, whether it's the right story or the wrong story, it has a different story.
You bet. You bet.
Awesome. Well, this has been fantastic. Tell the audience how we can find you if we have audience members that are looking for CFO services or they're in a liquidity issue or they've got too much cash. That's where we all want to be, right? How do they find you? How do they do that?
Yeah, too much cash. Contact Chris Wood. I love to hear the stories, and I think you had mentioned stories earlier, so a lot of my days are spent just talking to entrepreneurs that are sharing their stories, and so love to do that. Probably LinkedIn might be an easy way. Rusty Fulling on LinkedIn is great, and then FullingManagement.com. Or it's FullingMGMT.com is our website. And there's if you want to set up some time to kind of go through, you know, if you're looking for that CFO accounting resource, man, love to connect with you out there as well. So LinkedIn or the website, I think, would be two great ways to check us out.
Okay. So if anybody out there is in need, check out Rusty and his team. They've been around for 24 years. Happy birthday, by the way.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
So there's definitely some proof and some evidence that they know what they're doing, for sure. So, Rusty, that brings us to the end of our interview. Thank you for spending some time with us today. It was a pleasure to learn more about your journey. And I appreciate your insight into all of your experiences.
Hey, appreciate it, Chris, man. Good to visit with you today. I'm sure since we're in the same town, I'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.